Our passage this morning, Matthew chapter 13, join me in verses 31 to 35. I am reading from the NRSV version, so it may be difficult to follow along, so it's on the screen for you as well. He, Jesus, put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah here. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden since the foundation or the foundation of the world. Let us pray. Lord, help us to sink into your presence this morning, like we're sitting in an overstuffed leather chair, to be surrounded by you, to hear from you. The words that I speak now, Lord, are futile unless you come through, because the word of God cannot be preached unless the word of God shows up. So, Lord, for this congregation and for me, help us to listen for the word of God. The word that is proclaimed, the word that digs in and gets to the core of who we are. Because, Lord, in an era of great deconstruction, what we really long for is transformation. And that can only be given by your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, come in your power. Come, Holy Spirit, come in your power. Amen. I think in some ways we have heard these parables so often that they have lost a little bit of the scandal value they would have had to that original audience. That original audience, mind you, that would have been Jewish, who is bringing all of their expectations to bear on this person named Jesus that is teaching in front of them. And when you start using language like kingdom, they have great expectations of what that means. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus uses 2 images that would have shattered their myths. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, yeast. You see, for the Jewish people, you have been waiting. And waiting, really, we don't fully understand what that word means for them. Okay? We think, oh gosh, I had to wait for a long time to get something. No, no. We're talking about waiting for something that your grandparents waited for, your great-grandparents waited for, your great-great-grandparents waited for. Waiting for a source of liberation, waiting for a sense of hope, waiting for a sense in which the people who have conquered us will be conquered. Waiting for a restoration, waiting possibly to make Jerusalem great again, okay? Waiting for something great, something grand to happen. You've been occupied by the Romans. You were occupied by the Greeks. You were occupied by the Persians. You were occupied by the Babylonians. You were occupied by the Assyrians. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. So that word kingdom doesn't have the spiritual connotation that you and I bring to it. That word kingdom is there will be a geopolitical reality that did not exist before that now exists. And this person, namely Jesus, our hope is that he will bring that to us. And so you tell yourself myths, great stories, language we use to describe ourselves. We do it all the time. And for the Jewish people, one of the great myths is we will be like the cedars of Lebanon. These mighty trees, their majesty, their splendor, I can only compare it to the sequoias, the redwoods of the American West. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a cedar of Lebanon. No. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Well, maybe the mustard seed somehow miraculously turns into a giant tree. No, it turns into a shrub. But by the way, it fulfills the function of a tree because the bird can come to it. Yay. Nailed it, Jesus. We're about 15 minutes left here, okay? So can we go home now? But even more scandalous is that in ancient Judaism, you didn't want the mustard plant in your garden. It represented disorder. It was an invasive species. So you tried to keep that out of your garden, and Jesus is going, put it back in, because that's the kingdom. So all of your myths that you told yourself of greatness, all your myths you're going to stand out amongst the nations of the earth, are shattered. Because Jesus said that the kingdom that you've been longing for is like an invasive plant species. Congratulations. And then the kingdom of God is like leaven, yeast. If you come to a communion service at Park Street, you will find that we serve unleavened bread. We don't serve leavened bread. Because in ancient Judaism, leaven, yeast, represented impurity. So unleavened bread was the holy. And just think about how you make leaven, how you make yeast. In the ancient world, you would take a piece of bread, you would stick it away in a dark, damp place, and then as the process of mold and ferment begins, what comes off of that is the leaven. And Jesus says, what you find on that piece of bread in that dark, damp place, the kingdom of God is like that. In ancient Judaism, you have learned very carefully. You have prescribed rules, laws. This is sacred, that is profane. And Jesus says, hey, that thing that you think that you've called profane, that's far too common, that doesn't seem to stand out, the kingdom of God is like that. So the kingdom of God is like a mustard shrub. And the kingdom of God is like this bizarre fermenting process that makes our bread go up. Welcome to the scandal of the kingdom of God. Welcome to the reason that these Jews feel they have to enter into some sort of political alliance with Rome to be able to eradicate this guy. Because, see, what I fear we've done is we've sanitized these parables, we've sanitized these stories, and it makes no sense how in the world Jesus ends up on a Roman cross. And he's not just there. You can't just scapegoat Pontius Pilate and go, it's all Rome's fault. He's there through this confluence of Roman and Jewish power that puts him there. Because to both of them, he is scandalous. And not scandalous to the point that you would take me or Nate and go, I'm just not going to listen to you for a week. Scandalous to the point that says the world would be better if he was not alive. If you don't understand this, you don't understand what's happening, about to happen for Holy Week. Because Holy Week is an attempt to get rid of a man who claims to be Messiah, because from the Jewish perspective, he teaches stuff like this and somehow claims to still be God. And by the way, for those Jewish listeners, they couldn't even comprehend the fact that actually the sacred and profane had already mixed. Because the person standing in front of them was 100% divine and 100% human. So what's Jesus saying to them and to us? Because we have to start with them. What did this mean to them to be faithful to what it now means to us? Maybe, just maybe, the kingdom is not some geopolitical reality then or now, because Christian nationalism is a sin. It's an idol. Okay? Name it right now. But maybe the kingdom pops up in all kinds of strange places. And maybe our attempts then and now to make the kingdom some great thing that we can vote for, we can rally for, or whatever, causes us to miss the beauty of the kingdom that's popping in all around us at all times. That something as small and insignificant as a mustard seed could be the radical inbreaking of beauty and hope for you and I. And I wonder if the bravado going on in our current political moment, especially by Christians, is because we don't have enough moments in our day-to-day life where beauty breaks through and we experience the kingdom. Because we go, that's too insignificant. That couldn't be the kingdom. And maybe, just maybe, the leaven reminds us, and reminds the audience then, you think the kingdom comes about, you think you're special, you think you're identified because we don't do that and they do it, and so we have these rules, we have these prescriptions that we give to ourselves. And maybe the reason that we don't experience the insignificance of the kingdom is because we've stopped being a people who are surprised by the kingdom. You want to know what makes something truly beautiful? At the heart of it is that it surprises you. There's an element of surprise. You didn't expect it, and all of a sudden, it breaks through. As I was reflecting on this passage, very short passage, it reminded me to tell you that whenever a preacher gets up here and speaks, we are attempting to mediate to you what we believe God is saying. We are. But that mediation for you comes in multiple ways. I'm trying to mediate what Scripture says, and I'm trying to be faithful to Scripture. I'm trying to be faithful to what the Spirit is prompting me through the Scriptures. And the mediation comes through my life. I am a contextual being. I am up here. I have lived a life that you have not lived. And so I can't help but mediate the grace of God through my story. And so I remember, 8 years old, the backyard of my house in Grottoes, Virginia. My father had just gotten me a Daisy BB gun. Fantastic. Not a Red Ryder, so it did not have a compass and a stock in this thing which tells time. Thank you for those who laughed. You get the joke. But anyway. And so I wanted to prove to my father that I had spectacular aim. And so at our house in Grottoes, they were all FHA lots. So think of like everybody lived on a square or a rectangle in this subdivision. And my parents happened to own the lot that was at the very end that butted up against the town creek. And so it was a large rectangle, but it was a larger yard than others. And so on the far side were white pines that my father had planted. And then we had these Bradford pears along the backside. And in one of these Bradford pears, it was a day like we've had, not today because that's awful outside. It was a day where spring was starting to emerge. The grass had those bright green patches and brown patches where grass hadn't yet filled in. And I look ahead and I see this little brown sparrow out on the limb of this Bradford pear. That is how I'll prove to my dad that I know what I'm doing. So I take that little BB gun. Those of you who have shot a BB gun, you know what's going to come next. Thunk, 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 thunk. And you always give it like one extra pump, okay? Because clearly you're taking on a Sparrow Army here. So I raise it up. I aim at that little bird. Thunk. Okay. Oh, that's what it sounds like. Little bird falls out of the tree. Yeah, I won. I'm victorious. Sparrows would not mess with my family. And I walk over, and I look down. And the sparrow had fallen on a brown patch of grass. And the bright redness of the blood mixed that patch of grass made me start to cry. I look at my dad, and my interpretation of my father's face at that point was, all I can describe it as is tender disappointment. I'm sorry this hurts you so much, but you clearly don't have the killer instinct. I don't. No. I never have. And as I look back now, I think what I would say is there was some sort of violation that occurred in that moment. Then and now, I'm not an alpha male. I really have no desire to be. I can't be. I don't want to lead the pack. I really don't. But I feel the expectation, because there's always that expectation to be something that I'm not. And my dad looking at me, I felt that was kind of shattered. And so flash forward many years down the road, I'm meeting with a mentor at the seminary prayer garden. And he is attempting to pray to close out our time together. I am not listening, which is standard practice for me, because I zone out, ADHD kicks in, maybe I should be on meds, I don't know, okay? But the birds are going crazy in the trees around me, and so I just can't help. And so I'm listening to these birds that are just going crazy up in the trees, and my mentor squeezes my hand and says, "The Lord wants me to tell you that every time the birds sing, he's saying he loves you." So if you have been fortunate enough to come to my back deck, you know something about me, namely that I am a birder. I like birds. I have the feeders out. Yes, I know the calls. Yes, I know what they're called. Yes, I know their migration patterns. Okay, yes, I get it. I turned 40 last year. I have an 80-year-old hobby. I understand. My wife loves genealogy, so she's right there with me, okay? So we were born old, okay? I get it. Look how I dress, okay? I get it. But part of the reason that I have those bird feeders up, and part of the reason that I love birds so much, is because birds have been the mustard seed to my life. When the world was shutting down during the pandemic, I could go to my backyard, and the bird feeders were there, and the birds were still there singing. I literally get giddy at this time of year when I go outside and the birds are singing like crazy, because I'm like, yes, spring is coming, death is done, okay? But I love birds because they are the inbreaking of beauty into my life. And I can stop for a moment and I can be reminded that God is good. And so the Lord invited me to revisit that story of my childhood this past week, and especially my father's look of tender disappointment. My father has been dead for almost 3 years now. died tragically after a short battle with cancer. And as I listened to the great reconciliation that happened in he and I's life over the past 2 decades, I still saw tender disappointment. The tenderness remained, but the disappointment was, why did you ever think you needed to perform to be loved by me? So why does Jesus say the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed? It's like leaven. Because when I see a bird on my feeder, everything I just told you comes to mind. And my view of God is not static in that moment, but it is dynamic and relational, and God is active in my midst. And so the title of this series is Beauty Will Save the World. When I first saw it, I thought, this is a clever little title that Nate has created. This is nice, pleasant. But this week, I was like, yeah, that is true. Because beauty is who God is. And when God breaks through, you are changed. When you experience something beautiful, you want more of it. And I'm here to tell you, dear Park Street, vote your conscience come November. Vote, please. It's a blessing you have in this country. But if that is your definition of kingdom or beauty, you are worshiping an idol. Because the beauty of the kingdom makes you stare at a painting in the Cleveland Museum of Art and have feelings. When you stand next to the ocean and the water goes over your feet and your feet sink into the sand and you hear the roar of the waves, tell me that you've ever voted for anything more powerful than that. You haven't. You never will. So my prayer for you, dear friends, is that you would find these mustard seeds that shatter your expectations of greatness, that you would live in the overlap of the sacred and the profane, as Jesus did, and be surprised by the goodness of God's kingdom. And for a brief moment, you will stand on your equivalent to a back deck, and you will worship. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Ebenezers, the stones of remembrance that point us to you. Because, Lord, we beat our chest and we have great bravado in the world. But, Lord, help us to get past that insecurity, to get below the anxiety, and realize that there is a common desire, longing, that animates this room. We want to know and be known by you. So, Lord, we can't know you if you are not supreme in our life. And we can't fully be known by you in the way that we long for unless we lay down the idols that we've given our hearts to. So, Lord, your way does include a cross. It doesn't include a crown. But the promise of your resurrection is that the cross does not have the final story or the last word. the promise of your ascension is that your leadership will never end. And the promise of Pentecost is that beauty and joy can be experienced now. Help us to live into that power. In the name of Jesus Christ, our saving Lord. Amen.